Welcome to this week's podcast from Faith UCC in Dunedin, Florida. Listen to more of our podcasts on the website faithucc.org. Give something up, then go do something. The return gives meaning to the going forth. We don't know where we've been until we come back to where we were. Only where we were may not be as it was because of who we have become. Your Lenten journey, no matter what path you find yourself on, no matter what kind of wilderness you find yourself in, will be one in which you emerge transformed in some way. Now sit back and listen to Mike McMillan as he expounds upon those very thoughts.
Verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all their authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. In this scripture's passage, the journey that is Jesus' way begins.
Thank you. So I want to add a second scripture reading today to our text from Luke that Peg so wonderfully read for us. This is one I encountered decades ago and have never been able to forget. It has a kind of power on me. It's become kind of a mantra for my life that I return to from time to time. This very holy reading comes from the Gospel of Northern Exposure. It's written by St. Bernard of the Chris in the Morning Show, the K-Bear Window, as he was reflecting on a journey to Africa that he once took. Who here knows Northern Exposure? Who here has seen that? Oh my, you all have some homework to do. Anyway, Bernard said this about the journey. He said, "It's the coming back, the return, which gives meaning to the going forth. We really don't know where we've been until we come back to where we were. Only where we were may not be as it was because of who we've become." which is, after all, why we left. Oh, I know, deep words, huh? Northern exposure. I wanted to add these words by Bernard today because they really sum up perfectly the season of transformation that we are journeying now into, the season of Lent, a liturgical season that will, if you will allow it to, be a journey that will have profound implications on the whole of not only your spiritual lives, but your lives overall as they are intimately connected. The journey, this journey, if we're willing to accept it, will usher us into ourselves and into the world around us and ultimately open our eyes to the realm of God that is really just blooming and thriving all around us. This is a season to see that. And so I invite you to accept that invitation this year, this Lenten season. Cultivate a practice of the Spirit over these coming weeks through stillness or observation or centering yourself more often or just slowing down or prayer or tuning out of the distractions while at the same time tuning into the interactions of the rhythms of God within your life and all around you. It can be an amazing journey if you will enter it with some intention. And like Bernard, when you return, things might be quite different because of who you have become. Speaking of amazing experiences and journeys, our scripture text today is truly an amazing experience as Jesus is led into the wilderness in a time of what did you hear? Fasting, right? And prayer and temptation and ultimately transformation as he refuses to give in to the devil. Ooh, and his alluring vices. I love this story. There's so much going on here and so much to get into. Unfortunately, we only have a little time, so we can only hit a bit of it. And of course, there's the devil, right? The devil, that fantastic and mythic personification of temptation in this story. Just a little quick note about the devil here. The devil is not, this is important, in the Judaism of Jesus' time, a horned monster, a monster with horns and a tail that waves around in some kind of a fiery pitchfork. It's not. Get that out of your heads. That image from Jesus' time, when he lived, was still 1,200 years and some very inventive medieval artists away. Rather, the devil, as the gospel writers would have understood the term, would have been in the form of diabolos in Greek, which means accuser or adversary. Or in Hebrew, in the Hebrew scriptures, we hear, like, say, in the book of Job, you see what most people say, Satan, right? It's actually Satan, ha-Satan, which means hinderer. Satan was really just an angel of God who worked for the big guy and carried out tasks of hindering and tempting and obstructing, kind of like Michael Cohen. It's like the Michael Cohen of the Bible. So for the sake of this text, let's dispense with the pitchfork fire devil that awaits bad souls in hell. The imagery is not helpful here or intended in this text. Let's instead focus on other important aspects of this story as they relate to our unfolding spiritual lives. Those themes are the journeys life sends us on. That's one. Those we choose and those we find ourselves in the midst of. We don't always choose our journeys. And the transformation of some kind that comes from those journeys. And then the emergence of a new way of being for us that invariably results upon our return. Now, you wander through the stories of the Hebrew scriptures and the Newer Testament, as well as other religions and myths, you see this fascinating storyline that pops up again and again and again. Joseph Campbell, the famed mythologist, who I just love, calls it the monolith of the hero journey. It's a circle. It's a circle of a call to a journey, usually some kind of refusal of that call, then some kind of acceptance, maybe even some divine acceptance, temptations and tests, rebirth, and then usually some kind of an emergence. That's what Campbell calls the hero's journey. Now, for instance, in the Hebrew scriptures, you first hear about this journey with, say, Noah, who journeys into the ark for 40 days, right, and 40 nights as a storm rages, and then he emerges from this ark transformed, the bearer of a new way of living as God blesses him and promises never to destroy creation again. We hear the Israelites journeying out of Egypt and wandering for 40 years before reaching the promised land as a new and transformed nation. We hear of Moses journeying up the mountain, spending 40 days and 40 nights with God before coming back down transformed with the commandments and a new life for the people. Moses is the hero. We hear of Elijah, the prophet Elijah, who fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm sensing a theme here. His journey unfolding under a broom tree, Elijah emerged transformed as a prophet among his people. He's in the hero cycle. We hear of others, Ruth, who journeyed from her homeland and broke with cultural tradition to follow Naomi, and in the end became the grandmother of King David. Or Daniel, who journeyed into the lion's den and came out transformed and alive. Jonah, who journeyed into the belly of the whale and emerged as an unlikely hero. And Jacob, who upon his own journey climbed a great ladder to heaven in one instance and wrestled with an angel or God in another, Jacob emerged as a new nation. And finally, David journeyed into the ridicule of the people around him as he went up against Goliath. And in the end, he was transformed from this small boy into the mightiest of kings. The Bible is just loaded with these kind of hero stories. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Look to other religions and what do you see? The same theme, the journey, a time of trial or an ordeal and a transformation, and always an emergence as one with something to impart to the world around them. A man named Siddhartha Gautama, for instance, a prince from a wealthy and royal family, leaves his homeland and he goes into the forest and he sits under a Bodhi tree and he is tempted, funny, three times by the forces of lust, fear, and submission. He refuses to yield. He beats the demonic forces and he emerges from the forest transformed, known forever as the Buddha. Another man by the name of Muhammad, in the 7th century, we are told, was awakened by the angel Gabriel one night and journeyed into the realm, off into the realm of the heavens, coming face to face with God, with Allah, and then returned transformed with the Quran for his people. And now today, we hear another one of Jesus of Nazareth, who after leaving home and accepting the call to be baptized, journeys into the wilderness where he undergoes his own time of temptation and trial, and then he emerges transformed and does what all these previous heroes do as they spring forth from their journeys. He begins to teach others that there is another way to live free of the trappings of the world. These themes, wilderness of some kind, this could be an actual wilderness such as a forest or an ark or a lion's den. It could be a whale or the shade of a tree. The metaphor is wide and many, but in all cases, these things stand as metaphors for trials or for temptations or for difficult times that lead to a state of transformation for the one undergoing the ordeal, whether it's chosen or not. In each of these times, someone, generally an ordinary person, just like all of us, enters the journey and emerges as a bearer of new being for others. The journey leads to transformation, and in the end, the hero or heroine emerges. This is a story for all of us. We all have that power in us. That, my friends, is the power, as I see it, of the Lenten season. It's a time for reflection and courage, of journeying and seeking transformation. It's the reason our Jesus story stands at the threshold of Lent, inviting us inward. It's an invitation to accept the challenge and walk the path of the hero or the heroine's adventure, a path that each of you have been ushered into in some way. Our journeys are all different, just as each of the ones I recounted to you are different from our religious traditions and stories. But in each of them lies the common denominator of the wilderness. And surely you have all entered the wildernesses of your own lives in one form or another, right? Some of you have journeyed or are journeying now, so to speak, into the belly of the whale, perhaps, or the lion's den, or you feel like you're in the ark of darkness, pain and confusion and grief. Could be many and varied. For others of you, the journey is one of choice, perhaps more akin to a mountaintop experience of or a time of seeking and finding and searching. Now, most of us will encounter several varieties of these journeys in our lives as they unfold, in good times and in the not-so-good times. Wilderness And positive and negative manifestations will become a reality for us whether we want it to or not. That's just a fact of life. But it's how we emerge. It's how we emerge following the times of wilderness that counts. It's in what forms transformation takes in our lives following each journey that counts. And in each case, like Moses on the mountaintop or Jonah in the whale, or like Ruth in a foreign land, or Elijah under the broom tree, or Buddha under the Bodhi tree, like Jesus in the wilderness of temptation, the journey, if we will let it, will change us at the core of our being if we just pay attention to what it's trying to teach us, to its messages. In our lives, as Joseph Campbell writes, we have only to follow the thread of the hero path. And where we had thought to find an abomination, we shall find a God. Where we had thought to slay another, we shall slay ourselves. Where we had thought to travel outwards, we shall come to the center of our own existence. Where we had thought to be alone, we shall be with all the world. That's why I love him. So my hope this season is that your Lenten journey, no matter where you, what path you find yourself on, no matter what kind of wilderness you find yourself in, will be one in which you emerge transformed in some way. Again, the return gives meaning to the going forth. We really don't know where we've been until we come back to where we were, only where we were may not be as it was because of who we've become. The journeys, the wildernesses, the trials and ordeals, these things have lessons to teach us, even the hardest ones. Sometimes especially the hardest ones. But it's how we return that will shape how we go on. And so it is my hope that your return following Lent in 40 days and 40 nights will find you more at peace, more in tune with the world around you, more immersed in the mystery of God that you are already an unfolding part of in the journey. I wish you a blessed, blessed, contemplative, wonderfully transformative Lenten season. Amen.